I have two texts this afternoon, and you can choose which one you'd like. But of course you'll take in what is said about both of them. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. And one text is Ebenezer. And the other text is, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now they're not the same. Ebenezer means stone of help. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us means what he's done in the past. We trust he will do in the future. And I begin there. You know the story, how that for many years the Philistines had oppressed the nation of Israel, and how they had conquered and taken away the ark, and that the ark had come back to Beth Shemesh and then to Kiriath Yearim, and it had been there for 20 years. A long time. And especially for a people who were feeling that their God was not with them, because the ark was away among, near the Philistine border. So, after 20 years, the house of Israel approached Saul, and he said, approached Samuel, and he said, if you will turn with all your hearts, the Lord will hear you. Now we'll gather together at Mizpeh, which is one of the places he used to go to on circuit. All of you gather. And when you're there, I will pray to God for you. So they all came. And Samuel judged the people there. There was obviously a big gathering over a long time. But the Philistines heard that the whole of the nation was gathered at Mizpeh and thought, what an opportune time to catch everybody. We haven't to kill everybody. We haven't got to take 16 different cities. They'll all be there. What a wonderful advantage it will be while they're all gathered together at Mizpeh to conquer them all once again. So the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, pray, don't cease crying unto the Lord our God for us, that we may be saved out of the hands of the Philistines. And Samuel offered the correct sacrifice and cried in his prayer unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. And while Samuel was still offering up his prayer, the Lord sent thunder. Now, this was some storm. We're not told very much about it. But you can't have thunder without lightning. And between the storm, the Philistines were scattered. The conditions were such that they could no longer fight. They could no longer stay. The Lord thundered with a great thunder that day upon the Philistines. And the Lord discomfited them, that is, he undid them, he destroyed them, and they ran. And the men of Israel pursued after them until they came to Bethgar. And Samuel took a stone, and he set that stone between Mizpeh and Shen by a road, and that stone would stand there as a symbol. And the name on it was Ebenezer. But as he laid that stone there called Ebenezer, he said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So he laid a stone there, the stone itself symbolizing that God had helped them And there were certain events that were fresh in their mind, though the help had stretched back many, many years. And as he laid that stone, he said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." He was drawing a conclusion from that battle. He was drawing a conclusion from the victory, that what the Lord had done in the past, he could always do again in the future. And if the Lord saw fit to rescue his people, and in the earlier days to save his people, to form a people, the things he's done in the past he can build on and make what his will is to come true in the future. So one text at the beginning of a year is, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." It is a time for reflecting and for praising the Lord for all the things that have happened to us in our life, both things that are obviously spiritual and things that are more providential, the way the Lord led us to the position that when we are saved. As the older I got, the more I appreciated that when I knew nothing about it, how the Lord ordered all events until the time I was saved. And I could well have said then, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me," because that was only a beginning of the things that afterwards went on. Things I couldn't have dreamt about, didn't dream about when I was young. So it is a time of looking back at any time of our lives and recapping with great praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for the way that he has brought us. Maybe he'll remind us of things we'd long forgotten. But it is a time for going back and saying to the Lord, "These were wonderful things," and going back to Calvary too, but saying, "These are wonderful things, but I believe that you have a purpose in them, that all the things you prepared me for up till now have yet to receive their fulfillment, that the things you've trained me to be, the things I've learned to be, the things you've made me good at, the time in which I live, the parents that I have, the generation that I live in, where I live, all these things were prepared by you so that I could do the things you want me to do with the appropriate gifts in the appropriate place at the appropriate time." We may all say, "Up till now you have led me, and I know that from now on I'm going to experience that same leading." Maybe even more wonderfully, if the past was a preparation for the future, then the future will be superior to those early days, in the same way as you put scaffolding up round a building in order that you may paint it, plaster it, do whatever. But when the scaffolding comes down, the building looks different altogether. We've had scaffolding in the early years of our life, and now we're ready for the things to which the Lord has called us. And that's what these words bring testimony to. They take it for granted. It's an act of faith that the Lord will not suddenly stop now from doing the things he's been doing hitherto. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us," certainly. But the implication is that these things will make compound interest, will accelerate twice as fast. Having got to the summit of the hill, we'll then move on at great speed. The help that we've had in the past will only lead to greater opportunities of service and of usefulness in the future. The stone was simply a stone. And it was raised. Maybe it had inscribed on it the word Ebenezer. And it was put there because Samuel made that affirmation that "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." But the word Ebenezer means stone of help. Now, the stone that Samuel put there was just a stone. And so everybody passing by the way in days to come would see that it was called Ebenezer and perhaps would have been taught the significance of it. Hitherto the Lord had helped, and that we may be sure he'll continue to help in the future. But Ebenezer means stone of help. The stone Samuel put up was just a stone. But Ebenezer means a stone of help. And I read to you some of the passages that the Lord is laying in Zion a foundation, a stone. Peter quotes that and he says that. Jesus speaks about himself being the great foundation. So Ebenezer takes us to Christ, takes us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only stone of help. In other words, he is a foundation stone, a chief cornerstone also. I think it's foundation stone that's being thought of here. Not only has the Lord helped us in the past and therefore will in the future, it's who he's helped us by, his only dear begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he's got us there by the preaching of the gospel and leading us on in the gospel. The end of the Sermon on the Mount was of great significance. This great sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of a vast crowd expressed the essentials of what Jesus wanted everybody to hear, what he wanted his disciples to hear, and what he wanted the crowds who were listening to know that his disciples had to live up to, and perhaps to become disciples themselves. So he ends, as you know, he ends the Sermon on the Mount with this wonderful story about a foundation. He is the foundation. And the words which he speaks are foundation. Everyone who hears these sermons, sayings of mine, and does them. Now the contrast he makes is not between those who don't hear, but those who hear and ignore. You must grasp that central point. He's talking about those who've been listening to him, some of whom would believe, and some of them, having heard exactly the same thing, would turn away. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, but of course what a man speaks ought to do with his essential person. So he is the stone of help. And whosoever heareth them and doeth them, so he's got all these teachings throughout the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. Whoever hears my word and doeth them, I will show you what he's like, he says. And then he gives a story that everybody may simply understand. The language is so simple, you would have thought there would have been none that didn't follow him. But it wasn't the case. So he says, I will liken him to a wise man. And they will begin to go, yeah, that's me. And this wise man built his house on a rock. They'll say, well, of course we do. It's senseless to build our house on anything other than a rock. And the Lord Jesus is saying about his own words that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ will hold a man or a woman or a boy or a girl through all the situations of life, particularly the most devastating, the most traumatic. The rain descended. All right, fine, we don't like a wet day like that, but it came. But it was so persistent that the floods came. And while the floods were coming, The wind also blew with a massive power and moved the waters powerfully in flood past the house. And it beat upon that house. And that house fell not because it was built upon a rock. If we build on the stone of help, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, if we build upon his words, if we listen to what he's saying to our hearts through the word of the Bible, it doesn't matter what happens to us in life. We will come through as victors. We will win. And then the Lord puts the terrible alternative. Everyone that hears these words of mine and does them not. They know, but they don't do. Everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man. So he said, what are you saying? Well, I wouldn't be as foolish as to build on the floodplain. I wouldn't be foolish to do that, but they are foolish enough not to listen to what Jesus is saying. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Cheaper, no doubt. Quicker, no doubt. Probably an identical house. It's just what it's built on that is crucial. And here it is, you see. You may have everything there is to have in life, but it's the foundation that your life is built on that will not allow you to collapse. Here were two identical homes, two contemporaries. One built on the life of the Lord Jesus and the words, one not, so that when the storms of life came, and the tragedies, and the difficulties, the complications, the one who was built on the words of Jesus survived. This is a wonderful description he gives of the foolish man. The rain descended just the same. Same floods following the rain. The same power of the wind blowing upon the house. And then all the floods came, but these floods caused the house to collapse. And these words of Jesus. The rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. The significances of the things, the ramifications of all that had happened. It wasn't just that it fell and they could start all over again. It fell. And great was the fall of it. A man would have nothing left. A man whose life was not built on Christ would come to the end of it and would fall with no prospect now of building anew. Jesus is that stone of help. Now, I said there were two texts because Ebenezer itself means stone of help, but it wasn't that stone. It represented what Samuel said it represented. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But the scripture speaks emphatically of Christ as the stone of help. Let me read to you from 1 Peter like we did before. 1 Peter chapter 2. We come to him as unto a living stone. Now you've all heard of living stone, of course, but he's named after this. We come to the Christ, not as a dead stone, but as a living man, fully God, fully man, but he is foundational like a stone. You come to him as a living stone. Now, no matter that most people disregard him, no matter that most people disallow him, no matter that most nations don't build upon his teachings and so on, disallowed of men, but chosen of God, What a wonderful thing to fix your life upon Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to fix our life upon the one who's chosen of God, his dear, beloved Son. I lay in Zion, says the Lord, a chief cornerstone, foundation stone on the corner, one of the ones that causes it to be measured up, if you like. Exactly. A chosen stone, not just found. Precious stone. And whoever believeth on him shall not be confounded. But just as Jesus said, to those who were disobedient, who stumble at his word, who do not listen to what the Lord is teaching, who do not throw themselves upon him, being disobedient, they fall as they were appointed to do. So we start a new year, and we are they whom the Lord has graciously blessed by enabling us to believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to turn our hearts toward him. So not only are we thinking that the Lord has helped us hitherto and will continue to help us, but that we know no other foundation. We don't. I used to get terribly bored doing philosophy at school. Oh dear, what did Cato believe? What did Plato believe? What did Aristotle believe? What was the difference between them? What was the key position between them? All the other philosophers. But what does Jesus believe? He is the only one that will stand. The others will all fall. He is our stone of help. My only plea at the beginning of this year is that we keep building on that stone, that we keep finding that the Lord Jesus is our hope, our helper, our guide. Of course it's true. The things that he's done in the past, he will do in the future. But we're thinking of the Saviour. We're thinking of God's Son. We're thinking of the one who was sent in the world to make atonement for our sin, to pay the price, the penalty of our sinfulness. Ebenezer, the stone of help. May he remind that stone to us all through the year. And may it be likewise that what he has begun, he will undoubtedly continue. Of course, there's a human side to this. Samuel emphasized it. What the Lord has begun, he will continue, but what we have begun doesn't necessarily follow that we'll continue. Samuel was saying, Joshua was saying in their book, you all say you're going to believe in the Lord, but you can't. You won't. You won't keep it up. Better not start. Read Joshua 24 again. And some of the words that Samuel says here. You can't do it. It's what he does, not what we initiate. We're totally dependent on Christ as the stone of help. And we are very ill-advised to turn elsewhere. To add a little bit of philosophy to that and a little bit of wise thinking to what he has taught. Try and modify it in any way. Certainly we apply his teaching to our day and seek his will. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us with the strong meaning that he's going to continue to do so. But it is the Lord Jesus and him only who is God's chosen, precious, elect, helper, saviour of mankind. The stone of help, Ebenezer. Amen.